Thank you. It's good to be here. Isn't he good?
Amen.
Amen. Just loving the songs that you guys were doing with worship this morning. It just kind of set the foundation that God is good, that he's a healer, that miracles are possible. I mean, are we just singing that or do we actually believe it? Come on. And I felt like there is faith and expectation here. You know, some churches you walk in and, yeah, but it felt like it was good. There's a faith and expectation here.
Amen.
That actually he is good and he can do it. So thank you. I'm going to bring my stool over. I'm not quite sure whether I'm going to use it yet or not, but it's kind of one of those things that gives me a bit of encouragement if I know it's there. It's like my comfort zone, you know, but we'll see. Anyway, my name's Paul. Thank you, Phil and Caroline. Is it Caroline or
Caroline. Yeah, yeah.
For inviting me and all you guys. You look quite kind of excited and expectant. It's good. So just at the start, I'm just going to make a declaration. Will that be okay?
Amen.
We're not going to do it anyway. It just sounds nice to ask. And I'm just going to declare that people are going to get healed today.
Amen.
Okay? That miracles are going to happen. Come on. Is that okay?
Yes.
Miracles are going to happen. Shabadoo. Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey. Because that's the truth, isn't it?
Yes.
That is the truth. And
thank you.
Like the truth, I'm going to give you four, that's four, isn't it? That's four. I'm going to give you four foundations to start with that's really going to help set us up to see that happen today. Because that's what you want, isn't it?
Amen.
And the first one is that actually, you've already said it, he's in the room. Okay, first foundation. So that's Matthew 18:20, that Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there amongst them. So that means that he's in the room, because there's two or three that are gathered in his name, isn't there? So he's here. That's truth. Why don't we just become aware of him if he's in the room? If he's in the room, that means that I can experience him. Whoa, his presence is with us.
Yes.
That sounds very Anglican, actually, but it's truth. His presence is actually here. So the second foundation, building block, is that as well as being in the room, he's actually in us. Say, hello. Romans 8:9 says that the Spirit of God actually lives in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? So you are very carriers of the presence of God.
Amen.
So he's in the room and he's in you. Can't really get away, can we?
Yeah, yeah.
So anything can happen. Okay. The third foundation is that his word says it's possible. Okay, Philippians 2:10. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee. Psalm 103:3. He forgives our sins and heals all our diseases. Now that's an interesting verse, isn't it? Because if you need forgiveness, you go to God and you ask for forgiveness and you just go believing that you're forgiven, don't you? You don't doubt whether it's available or not. His forgiveness is always there. But what about healing? Because it's the same verse.
Yes.
It's the same verse. He forgives our sins and he heals all our forgiveness. Sometimes it's easier to believe for the forgiveness than it is for the healing. But it's the same verse. Matthew 10, 1. It's given authority to heal every disease and sickness. So he's in the room, he's in us, and his word says that he wants to do it. Doing pretty good so far, aren't we? What's the fourth one? The fourth one is that actually his very nature, one of his names is Jehovah Rapha, God who heals. So his very nature of who he is when he turns up is as a God who heals. His desire, his nature is a God of healing. He's in the room. He's in you. His word says it. And it's his nature. He wants to do it. Okay. Anything could happen this morning. It's a little bit scary, but it could. His presence could encounter your body this morning and shift can happen because he's in the room. Okay, let's see if I can get this right. This says some guy called Waymer. I met him in Albania about a month ago. We were out there. And he was deaf in one ear, 20 years from being a drummer. Okay, so the young boy was over here, just be careful. Anyway, he'd been a drummer for 20 years or more, and he'd been deaf, for 20 years. So he said, well, can I pray for you? And put my hand on his ear and just started releasing the presence of God that we carry. I wasn't going to go into my room and say, please, please, God, please, can you do something? Because he was in the room already and we carry his presence. So I put my hand on his ear and commanded stuff to start to happen. And after about a minute, he said, oh, it's starting to pop. I can feel something in my tubes. So he just carried on praying for him, probably about 2 minutes in total. And then his ear opened up. And you could hear. I thought, well, that's good, isn't it? He seemed quite happy about that. Hey. Back in January, had the privilege of hosting Ian Andrews, down at Locks Lane in Shaftesbury, and we had a good meeting, saw stuff happen. And then 3 days later, they had a men's weekend, which wasn't anything to do with healing at all. They just had a man's weekend in the same room. And then about a week later, we hear this story about this guy that had come to the men's weekend, and just being in that room, in that atmosphere where we'd been declaring and talking about healing, thinks, oh, my hand's not shaking anymore. I've not got any of the signs of Parkinson's that I used to have. And I saw him a few weeks later, and he is absolutely, completely free of Parkinson's just by soaking up the residue of the anointing presence in that room. I thought, well, that's good, isn't it? That's exciting. Should we give Jesus a bit of a round of applause for that? That's good. And can I be honest? I mean, I know we're in church and all that, but can I be... Is that okay? I always used to start these meetings with declaring people will get healed, okay? And then God challenged me a little bit on saying, actually, why don't you say miracles? I'm like, ooh, it's a bit scary, isn't it? I mean, we're okay with healings, but miracles? Is that really? But actually, a lot of the stuff that we want to see is miracles. So I was down at a church in Yatton a few weeks ago, and I was, okay, God, what I'll do is I'll compromise, okay? And I'll say, healings are going to happen, and miracles can happen. Okay? I'm kind of, because it sounds a bit kind of, you know, you're being a bit kind of arrogant in a way. But that's the English thing that kicks in, isn't it? Is that us being English? So I thought, okay, I'll compromise. And then I walk up the front and there's this little sign that says, expect a miracle. And I'm like, okay. I'll declare it. Miracles can happen. Will happen. So it was a good meeting. And at the end, I walk up the back and there's this lady who stood there. And I say to her, what do you need? And she goes, I need a miracle. Oh, it's interesting. And she goes, if I want to look over there, I have to do this and turn my whole body to look over there because my neck is completely fused. It's been like that for a number of years. So I said, oh, wow, why don't we... it's okay because I know a man who can do miracles. So I said, why don't we go and ask one of the angels to go and get some new bits, okay? And we'll put our hand up into heaven and take those new bits and bring them down and pop them into your neck. And she's like, oh, my neck's gone all hot. My neck's gone all hot. And then she goes, I can turn my neck. That's a miracle. Come on.
Wow,
I was excited about that. He's so good. Isn't he good? You know, this is the first time that I have preached using my new laptop and it's gone off. So I need to push that button there, I think. Look at it and it automatically opens up. Face recognition. So good. Okay, so I'm going to switch gear a little bit now and just lay a bit of foundation for where we're going to go. Because we're talking about actually going beyond the building, aren't we? And taking healing out there into the big outside. Okay. So my pastor friend wrote this on Facebook the other day. The church is not meant to entertain the saved. It exists to train disciples to glorify God and reach the lost. So I want to talk about actually what training disciples look like for Jesus, okay, so that he can be glorified as we step out to reach the lost, okay? So what's the Great Commission, the main thing that we're called to do? Anybody? Go and make disciples, Matthew 28, 19, 20. You know, it's interesting. We know the verse, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, blah, blah, blah. And we know the verse about Jesus said that I have all authority. I've been given all authority. And, you know, that comes before the disciple-making one. And actually, the disciple-making one doesn't start with the word go. It starts with the word therefore. Which means it must be somehow linked to the authority that he's given us as believers. So he's sending us out because he's given us authority. He's given us influence. We're going out with authority and influence. He's like, I've given you it. Now go and do something with it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Those verses are linked.
Amen.
Hey, okay. There you go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Disciples, not converts. Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you know the difference between a convert and a disciple? So a convert says a prayer, a disciple gets baptized. Okay? We're called to make disciples. And teaching them to have correct theology and good manners? No? No? Because that's what they kind of taught me in discipleship class. Okay, what's it saying? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the end of the age. It's kind of like he's saying, look, guys, it's kind of about going out there to make disciples. And these guys that you're connecting with, the discipling process is actually teaching them to do the stuff that I showed you to do. Which is to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons. Hey. Okay. So we're stepping into a new season in church history, aren't we? We're stepping into this kind of new, everybody's been prophesying for years, the new. It's kind of like that we're stepping into a apostolic season, which basically means a season where people aren't so much banging on our doors to get in, but us as people who are sent, which is what apostolic means, it means the sent ones, we're going out to them knowing and realizing that one, ministry is what happens when we actually step outside the meeting. Two, that we actually carry something on the inside wherever we go. And three, that we can actually demonstrate the kingdom, what it looks like in the marketplace as well as the meeting place. We've got experts in the meeting place, but actually we're called to go to the marketplace. Okay, so okay, I mean if it's not, just go back and read the book if you don't believe me, okay, because that's where I found it. Hey, I mean, how do you disciple nations? Because it says to disciple nations. I mean, are the nations coming into our church building? I mean, we've got a good cross-section of nations here, but I don't think Jesus was talking about some kind of ethnic diversity policy in the church. I think he was talking about us discipling nations. And what does that mean? It's some kind of sphere of influence. The authority, the place where he's giving you authority. What's your nation? I mean, for me at this time, I'm seeing it as Bath, because that's where I come from. So my calling is to disciple Bath in the area of healing. That's my influence. So where I go, I disciple. Okay, see, I'm a little bit concerned that because of the past classic church models that we've had in the past of pastor and teacher-led movements, at times you've kind of reduced discipleship down to two main things. And those two main things are, one, character issues. Okay, and that's all good. That teaches us to behave correctly, which tends to be what the gifting of the pastor will focus on. And the second thing is believing properly, which is what the teacher will focus on and teaches us to have good and proper theology. And both are really good, okay? Because both the pastor and teacher are gifts from God in Ephesians 4. And we need both of them. It is good to have good theology and behave properly, okay? So please don't hear any negative in that, okay? But I'm saying on its own, that's just a foundation. Okay, that's just a foundation. And I wonder whether just believing properly and behaving properly is actually what Jesus was referring to when he said, go and obey them to do the things that I did. Right. Whether actually those things that he did were the things that he was talking about, and those things that he did were things like healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, doing the stuff, as John Wimber used to say. Those are the things that we can then start to add on top of our discipleship training programs, on top of the behaving properly and believing properly. Okay? So, what does that look like? Because, like, I don't know, when I read the Bible, I get a bit messed up at times. It's like Jesus had a different kind of mindset on it all. It's like the guys go out these fishermen, these rough and tumble fishermen, and they're not actually all sorted out in here, behaving properly. And they haven't really got it all sorted out theologically wise up here yet. And yet he still sends them. And it's kind of as they go that he clips them. He doesn't clip them before they go. It's as they go that he deals with the issues that come up. Have you seen that? I mean, Luke 9. What about Luke 9? They go into this Samaritan village and the guys don't really respond that well. And they say, should we call down fire from heaven and build this village up? I mean, is that a evangelistic technique do you think would work in Newbury today? I don't know. They hadn't got it all sorted, had they? Yeah. And yet they were still out there going for it. And Jesus just sort of clipped them a little bit in that and took them forward. Hey, but at least they were on the move. And you can't steer a bicycle that stood against the wall. It's a lot easier to turn when it's moving. Hey. And then later on in Luke, they were arguing amongst themselves who's the greatest. So they hadn't got it all sorted out. But my point is that they were still moving. Okay. Hey. Because it's possible to believe properly, to have good behaviour, and stay at home. What about this one? When Jesus had called the 12 disciples, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons, cure diseases, and sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. I mean, that's like a bit of an action verse there, isn't it? It's not when you put on the fridge next to the be still, relax, chill out, God's in control kind of fridge magnet sticker that goes code on the fridge. Is it? It's more of a in your face, come on, get up there, engage with people and go for it. Action verse. Hey, do you know who is in control? Is God in control? You see, what's he in control of? I mean, he's coming back. I know he's coming back, but I don't know. I have some situations out there in Newbury that probably he's not really in control of. Maybe there's some sickness in people's body. Is he in control of that? I think he's in control of what we allow him to be in control of. I know there's areas in my life, if I'm completely honest, that are not completely submitted to him yet. Is that a shock? I'm sorry. But, you know, like I've given my life to him. I'm doing my best at getting there. But actually, I think it's easy to say God's in control and not realise that actually, if there's a storm coming towards Newbury, it's our role to stand up in authority that he's given us and declare, in the name of Jesus, be still. There's something about the reason that he's given us authority is so we can exercise control in situations that are in chaos. So when there is chaos in someone's body, being sickness or healing needed, we can step in authority, knowing that his presence is there, and say, be healed, I am loosing the kingdom into you today so that your body comes into order. Does that make sense? Sometimes when we say relax, God's in control, we actually delegate or we reject, refuse to pick up the authority that he wants us to partner with him in to walk into a broken world and become the answer. Because he's put his Holy Spirit in you to empower you and anoint you for the go. Because he looks at you and he goes, you're amazing. You can do it. Come on. Who is he going to use? He's going to use the church, isn't he? Who is the church? Oh, us?
Yes.
Does that mean I've got some kind of responsibility? Oh, my goodness. Don't like that word, do we? Responsibility. What about the fact that Jesus actually commanded us to go? I mean, it wasn't a suggestion. I mean, talk to him about that, okay? That's not me saying get out there and do it. It's actually in the book. I mean, have you read the book? I mean, some of the things in there were crazy radical. I was watching this worship, movie, whatever it was, this concert thing on YouTube the other day, and there was a guy on stage and all the lights and everything and everybody watching, and he was just singing, "I just want to be like Jesus." And I thought, well, that's great, lovely song, and so do I, but I just don't know whether he did that. If I want to be like Jesus, I'm probably going to go out there and connect with somebody and boom the gospel.
Yeah.
Yes. Whoops. Is that okay? So these passages, all require us to go somewhere, engage with people, and do something that he modeled and demonstrated for us and said, look, this is how you do it. Put your hand on somebody. Write his presence. Be healed. Sickness go. Because anything is possible because he's here. Who's got pain in their back at the minute? Do you want to come up? Is that okay? I mean, don't if you don't want to, but it's invitation only. I work on invitation only. What's your name?
I'm Oyenka.
That's a good name.
Thank you.
I'm just going to try it. Oh, okay. Oyenka?
Yeah.
Oyenka, I got it right?
Yeah.
Okay, come on.
Close enough.
Come on. Okay, that's good for me, honestly. That is good. Okay, so what I would do is, you've got pain in your back at the minute?
Yeah.
Where on your shoulders?
Yeah, like just back there.
Back there. You know what? If I was praying, which I'm going to, I'll always start off by telling a story. Okay, because my job is to build faith. And I remember, where are we? Sunday. Thursday night, I was in Bristol. Chuck Powie was over. Great evening. Anyway, this girl came running up to me and said, you prayed for me about a month ago. I had pain in my neck and my shoulders. It was something like 6 or 7 out of 10. And she said it was instantly healed. She was taking 20 milligrams a night of, I did write it down somewhere, this drug thing. Ampitiatan or something. That's the one. And she said, say it again.
Amitriptyline.
Amitriptyline. And she said it's quite a heavy duty thing. She came off it instantly that night. She's been absolutely fine ever since. Okay? So hopefully now there's something in you going, ooh, that could happen to me. And we know that the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy, which means we've just opened up in the spiritual realm the ability for that same thing to happen again. Is that encouraging? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is the pain in your shoulders?
I think, like 6, 7 kind of vibe.
6 or 7?
Yeah.
Okay. So just to say, if that was a man, it'd be 8 or 9. Okay? 6 or 7. So is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jesus healed everyone that came to him. Okay. And remember, Noah opened up the window and the dove went out looking for a place to land. Okay, so when I say, is it okay, and you say yes, you're giving the dove a place to land. Okay, you've given me authority now to pray for you. So I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder gently. Okay, now you don't need to do anything because he's here. He's in the room. Okay, so you just relax. And I'm just going to say, thank you, Father. Oh, I've forgotten your name, sorry.
Oyenka.
Thank you, Father, for Oyenka. Thank you that you love her. I just preached the gospel there. Did you notice that? Thank you that you love her. That is the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. So now I'm just going to release your presence into her back, into her shoulder, into everywhere that needs a touch from Jesus. So that's called a petition in prayer at that point, where I'm just inviting the dove to come and rest. And you can feel that, can't you? You can feel his presence on you. Can you feel it? Can you feel it there?
I guess so.
Yeah, you can. So, okay, you just go back into that. So now I'm going to switch from petition prayer into authoritative prayer, and I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, pain go, shoulder be healed, back be healed, back be straight. In Jesus' name. Amen. So just some very simple kind of words. I don't need to shout in tongues or shout loudly. You know, Jesus never shouted in tongues when he prayed for anybody in healing. In fact, he didn't really pray, he just spoke. Longest prayer he said was, get up. Little girl, I say to you, get up. And that was kind of like conversation. The man in the temple, stretch out your hand. It's just a declaration. So now we're going to do something really scary. We're going to ask her what's going on. I mean, scary for me, not scary for you, because you were like, what's going on? What's going on? What is going on? And you can be real and honest, okay?
Mm. Things are a bit better.
It's a bit better?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was a 6 or 7 before. What is it now?
Maybe like a 5.
About a 5, okay. So what are we going to do with that?
Pray again.
Someone's taught you already, haven't they? So good. So we're going to say thank you. You know, Jesus broke the loaves and fishes and he gave up. He had 5 and he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks. Because he already had 5. Otherwise, all the other miracles, he moves in our either power or authority. And power looks like the flow of the Spirit. Authority looks like be healed. So, Father, we thank you for what you've done so far, that it's gone down to a 5. We just invite your presence again into her back, and we just loose physical healing into your body now. We command infirmity to come off in Jesus' name, and we loose healing. We say back, be completely healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, why don't you walk over there and come back, and then we'll ask you what it's like, okay?
Yeah.
Come on. I know it's your back. Sometimes it's good just to walk. So what's going on now?
I think, yeah, around the same, kind of like 4
around
or 5.
Around the same, about 4 now. Okay. You sit down there, and I bet you by the end of the thing, that's going to be completely sorted. So often, healing comes, you know, you start it off, and then it starts to come, it starts to improve, and it's like, oh, don't feel that anymore, okay? But what we want is a miracle, isn't it? When something instantly happens. But it's so common for something to start and for it to come through. So I'm going to show you, oh, my thing's gone to sleep again. I'm going to show you a couple more photos. Will that be okay? Because for me, it was like, I want to start seeing this stuff happening outside on the streets. So, I don't know, probably about 10 years ago, I had such a desire to actually go there that we started something in Bath called Healing on the Streets. Has anybody ever heard of? You've heard of that, haven't you? It's a model. It's a good model, but it's just a model, okay? Doesn't have to be that model, but the main thing is that we get moving and doing something. So, oh, I want to tell you about this Indian lady first of all. Will that be okay? I'm just going to, divert. Love this beautiful lady. So we're out in Bangalore a couple of months ago, and they say, tomorrow we're going to go to the leper colony. And I'm like, no one told me we're going to go to the leper colony. And can you catch leprosy? I don't know. Can you go? I mean, do I need to take some precautions or wear a face mask or something? I got no idea, so I had to Google it. Can you catch leprosy by touching people? No, you can't. You've got to be with them for 3 months, apparently. It's not a one-off thing. It's like, well, how do you call leprosy? Because I know in the Bible it says it, but I've never come across anybody that had leprosy before. So what do you do? So I Googled it. And you know, actually, you heal leprosy because it's a disease. So I thought, okay, well, I can do that. I can release healing. But what do you cleanse then? And you know what you cleanse? You cleanse the stigma. You cleanse the stigma. Anybody in Newbury that has a bit of stigma? Need a bit of cleansing? So me and my two friends are sat on three chairs in front of the leper colony that all sit on the floor in front of us. And we're introduced as the men of God on the chairs. nothing like a good bit of hierarchy, is there? And I'm looking at my friends and we're like, oh my goodness. And then, bless them, they want to honour us. They come and put these little flower garlands on us and honour us as the man of God. And all the lepers are kind of watching us. And I'm like, can we just make that hole a bit bigger, please, for me to fall in? And oh my goodness, what are we going to do, Holy Spirit? So I thought, oh, I know what we do. So I stood up and I looked out and I saw this beautiful lady with a plastic bag on her head. And I said, darling, can you step up? I'm not sure if I said darling or how that got interpreted, but I said, can you stand up? And I could just see her kind of looking around. What, me? Like, yeah, can I stand up? And this kind of shame and this kind of, you know, stigma of I'm just a leper and you're the man of God, you know? I'm like, come on, because you know what? When God looks down from heaven and sees me or you, there's no difference. He sees you just the same as he sees me. Come on, stand up. And I took my garland off and I put it on her. And something broke off her. You know, something broke at that minute. And then we prayed for everybody and all these healings broke out and stuff happened. And there's a massive clap of thunder and it starts raining. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I got one hand on a leper's head and one hand trying to rebuke the rain. And they tell me afterwards, like, no, Paul, the rain's a blessing. They need the rain, which kind of broke as well when we were there. And I thought, come on, God, you're so good. But it's in the Bible. We're called to cleanse the leper, heal the sick, raise the dead. Hey, cast out demons. Does that excite you? Come on, it excites me. Wow. So back in Bath. It's a Hindu lady coming for prayer. I love this photo. She was sat there for half an hour. We put a banner up, say healing. This Hindu lady came along. I said, we're praying in the name of Jesus. She said, yeah, that's okay. I prayed for her and the presence of God just came and rested on her. And she sat there for half an hour. I just wandered off and started speaking to someone else. She was having a great time. Tell me, that's the best time I've had for years. A Hindu lady being prayed for on the streets of Bath. Come on. Hey, is that sideways? Ooh, that's a lady who doesn't need a walking stick anymore. Here's a strange guy. You see all kinds of people out there. This is a druid, and they were having this kind of festival. And behind him, you have the Easter Bunny. Minerva. No, Istria, sorry. Istria and Baal. Those two statues. They thought they were art. In our city. And like, come on, this is our city. We've got authority in our city. This is wrong. I'm looking out from where we're doing healing on the streets and doing these things. I have authority in this place. I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the anointing oil. You've got some anointing oil over there. I'm just going to walk down quietly. No big fuss. Went down in the name of Jesus, anointed them both. Walked in the next morning, and that's what I saw. I thought, come on. We have more authority. We have more authority than we know. If we could only see into the spiritual realm as to what we carry, the power we carry, the authority we have, it would change everything. Come on, I'm telling you. Hey, this is out in Russia, actually. Need to pray for Russia, don't we? And the one with the fancy shirt. I like my fancy shirts. It's my friend Steve on the other end. He's a Russian pastor in the middle. Came down to check us out because we took a team out on the streets in Russia. And one of the guys, one of the Russian guys, we were setting it all up. And he said, you know what? I don't think we're meant to be here. We're meant to be over there. I was like, okay. So we moved 20, 30 foot or whatever over there. But there's somebody already stood there. So we move over as a team and say, oh, do you mind if kind of, you know, we're just going to set up here? And the lady says, well, I'm standing here because God told me today that if I was to come here, I'd get healed. And she was just waiting. She was just waiting. I thought, isn't that good? So this Russian pastor came down to check us out and he had a detached retina in one eye. And we prayed for him. And absolutely nothing happened. Okay? So, okay. But I believe in three P's. Okay? Invite his presence to come so he encounters God. Tell the sickness to push off, second P. And then start prophesying. And that whole encounter is wrapped up in love. So even if he doesn't get healed, they've encountered a Christian that's been nice to them. They've encountered the presence of God. And they've got a prophetic word to start with. That's three good things. Anyway, next morning we get a message saying when he woke up, he's completely healed. Completely healed. And he gave that testimony out in his church. He had a big church and apparently seven people gave their lives to Jesus as a result of that. But we thought nothing happened. Hey, come on. So often it's as you go that things happen. Yeah. That's good. I think I've learned something this morning. I think I need to increase the time into my laptop goes to sleep. Hey. Hey, who likes videos? Yeah? Should we watch a video? Will that be okay? Because I think I'm probably coming to a point where we need to come into land. Can we put that little video on? It's a sound with it too, hopefully. Okay, I know the feeling. Hey. Oh, I'll just explain, just before you do. Bill Johnson came to Bristol, which is near Bath, about, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago. And they invited me to go and head up the healing street work at the time. And they thought it'd be good if they made a promotional video. So they came over to Bath and took this little video. And I'm like, I don't know about kind of filming people in the square, getting healed and all that stuff. It just seemed a bit, you know, my English kind of reserve. But God seemed to have other ideas, so they just play this.
I've been reading about something called Healing on the Streets, a concept for street prayer that came out of Causeway Coast Vineyard Church in Northern Ireland. But this was my first chance to experience it in action. It seemed simple enough. Next to a big banner which said healing and some fold-away chairs, Paul Skelton and his team approached passers-by to offer them prayer for physical or emotional healing. To start with, they didn't seem to be getting many takers.
Ma'am, we're out here praying for healing today. We're out in prayer.
But after a slow start, things seemed to pick up.
So I regularly go to the chiropractor and regularly have back pain.
All right. Okay, is it painful now?
Yes, it is actually.
What would you describe it as on a scale of, say,
one to ten? It's a 4 or 5.
Do you know, he loves you so much.
Can we say, be healed in the name of Jesus?
Yes.
We're going to
stand up.
Yeah. See what it's like.
It's weird?
Yeah, because it's fine.
It's fine.
It feels fine. Hey!
Gosh. Well, it seems that way, yeah. Yeah. It's not there. The pain's not there. I don't know what I can say, so it's just not there. And I don't believe, I'm not a believer or anything like that as such, so this is strange. I'm finding it a bit weird to take on board, really. I should probably walk around Bath several times shaking my head now.
34 miracles in the Gospels, of which 30 of them were recorded as being outside. It's not like there's a shortage of people to go and love on.
A few years ago, I would have thought, no way am I going to go out there on the streets and do this. I just love to see God's power in action. It's just so exciting, so liberating.
It was interesting to hear that Stuart's a recent convert to street prayer. I'd been wondering whether it only appealed to folk who felt gifted in this area.
Is this just for evangelists or outgoing extroverts?
Well, I've been pastoral for 30 years. I thought my gift and calling was all to do with people in the church. But a few years back, I suddenly kind of had this desire, I want to give it away.
Amen. Well, that was encouraging, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, if you've got pain in your body at the minute or you need healing, why don't you stand up? And don't be shy, because the worst thing that's going to happen is that it might not come immediately. That's the worst thing. The best thing that could happen is you get immediately, instantly healed. So that could be good, couldn't it? It's okay, so don't be shy. Okay, so what I want the rest of you to do is to just to stand around them and ask if you can put your hand on their shoulder. Okay, so the rest of you are going to be ministry team. And if you're being prayed for, why don't you put your hand up just so that we know who's who. Put your hand up if you're standing. And then the rest of you, are you happy just to wander around and stand by them? Can you do that? Okay, let's just wander around. And then the people with their hands up who need prayer, you're going to have one sentence, okay, to say to the others what it is that you need healing for. So it could be something like, I have pain in my back, 5 out of 10. Okay, just one sentence. We don't want to know about the cat falling out the tree and the ladder and all that stuff, okay? So can you do that now? Can you very quickly just say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and my problem is this. Will that be okay? Go on. Okay. Okay, you should have done that by now. You all done that? Excellent. I'm going to call you back, and we're going to be a little bit in and out. So you should now know what it is that you're going to pray for. So can you ask them now, can I put my hand on your shoulder? Can I put my hand on your shoulder? Okay. You done that? Excellent. So the next thing we're going to do is we're literally going to do that petition prayer, and we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and hover over the waters. Do you remember in the Bible? The Holy Spirit was hovering over the water into which was the word of God was spoken. So we don't want to do the operation without giving them the anesthetic. Okay? Because if the Holy Spirit isn't there, it's going to be very hard work on your own, isn't it? Because you can't really do anything on your own. But if the Holy Spirit's there, it changes everything. So why don't you say something like, Holy Spirit, come. And if you're praying, keep your eyes open. Okay? That's it. I release your presence. Those kind of words are good. And just watch what's happening to the person. And then you can switch your prayer to speaking authoritatively. So we're not asking God to do it, okay? We're speaking ourselves to the mountain because God has asked us to do it. He said, go and heal the sick. And we carry the Holy Spirit in us and we have authority. So we can use words like pain go, back be healed, everything to come into order, those kind of words. Why don't you do that now? Shabba. In the name of Jesus, come into order. In Jesus' name. Okay, that'll probably do. You don't have to spend too long. And now you want to get some feedback and ask them, what's going on? What's changed? Some of them might need to try it out. And if you didn't have anybody praying for you, we just say, now, in the name of Jesus, pain go, be healed, every pain and sickness to be eradicated. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, get some feedback. Just try moving around. Try seeing what's happening. How are things going? Okay, now then, look at me a moment. If you've experienced some degree of healing, I want you to put your hand in the air. Okay, that's great. There's a number of people around the room. You've experienced some degree of healing. Excellent. Anybody been completely healed so far? Anybody completely healed? Yeah, one over there. What happened over there? Just shout out. You have pain in your kidneys, and now that's completely gone. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. So pain in the kidneys has gone over there, and people are partially being healed. Does that give you faith to have another go? Yes. Come on. Let's do one more go then. Let's put our hands on the shoulders again. More of your presence, Father. We thank you for what you're starting to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that things are starting to shift. So now in the name of Jesus, we just exercise authority in the name of Jesus. And we speak, release every bit of infirmity to go in Jesus' name. Backs to be healed, pain to go, whatever needs to happen. Happen now in Jesus' precious name. Specifically headaches. There's headaches that are breaking off in the room at the minute. I speak a release to tension and headaches and migraines. Some of them have gone on for years, and there's an anointing at the minute. I just speak a release to pains in the head. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, be healed. Amen. Okay, wave at me again if there's been a shift, if something's starting to happen. Come on, come on. There's some more here. Come on. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. So, he's starting to do stuff. For the sake of time, I'm going to hand back, but should we invite the ministry team to come up and we'll go... More okay, so if you're part of the ministry team, we're going to invite you to come up. And if you haven't been completely healed yet, then we'll pray for you at the front for more. Okay, so I'm going to hand back to Phil and we'll see where we go.
Thank you, Paul. Well, let's just show our appreciation to Paul and to Jesus. Hallelujah. And these signs will follow those who what? Believe. How many believers in the house? Let's just pray. Lift up your hands to him. Lord, I pray as your people go to their community, to their street, to their office, and when they run into sick people, Lord, that they will have the wisdom to know how to ask to minister your healing touch. And Father, we pray that signs will follow your people even this week, even this day. If you're going home and there's someone sick in your house, you go and lay your hands on them. Father, I pray we will be doers, not just hearers. I thank you we don't have to be perfect. Lord, the disciples were all a bit of a mess, but you used them to heal the sick. So, Lord, we yield to you. Let our hands be your hands. Let our words be your words. Let our hearts be filled with your love. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.